Welcome to the Bowling Alley, the original wrestling podcast with over 1 billion downloads. Here's your host, Kenny the Starmaker Bolin, and his co-host, Daniel Spencer.
And we are live on the Bowling Alley. We've got, of course, Starmaker Kenny Bolin, but we have a special guest today, Flying Brian Pillman Jr.
How's everybody doing today?
Well, cold as hell for a lot of us. You know, this might be the first time that we've ever had everybody on the show from the state of Kentucky.
Oh, so you guys are from Kentucky as well?
Well, I'm from Louisville. And Louisville as well, yeah. And he is not, Daniel's not from such a nice area in Louisville. We really don't even call where he's at Louisville. We call it Highview. What part of Louisville he lives in.
Never heard of Highview.
Yeah, no, of course, no one has. And
it's we just call it Louisville. That's what we call it. We don't really call it Highview.
You all call it, and we over here on the nice side of Louisville call it Highview, so as you don't infiltrate and come over to our part of town.
Oh, okay.
Nasty up this side of Louisville. You stay on your side, we'll stay on our side. We want a wall built, but we want it built on Bardstown Road to keep people like you out. Kind of what we're looking at. Flying Brian, what are the crap areas in the Cincinnati area? Your dad was from Cincinnati, played for the Bengals. You live in that area. Let me guess, are you in the Newport area yourself?
I am in the Erlanger kind of Edgewood area.
I used to listen to the WLW sports shows, and there used to be a very famous guest that called in, and his name was Kenny from Erlanger. Did you ever listen to any of those shows?
No, I didn't. But I've done an interview with WLW before.
The big one.
I did one with that. What's the guy that hosts it now? What's his name?
Well, there's Gary Burbank. God, I haven't listened to him in many years. But back in my days, there was Gary Burbank, and there was the guy that's got his own talk show now, Cunningham.
Yeah, Cunningham.
Yeah, Cunningham. So
I did an interview with Cunningham. He's a funny guy. He's pretty cool.
I've done one show with Cunningham, and I've did a couple with Gary Burbank, and I did not get to do any with Bob Trumpy. I would have loved to have done them with him. Do me a favor, Brian. My guests have been so thrilled to see you tonight, and we're only getting you from the nose up. If we could get that camera to tilt down some, I know you probably don't have a monitor over there.
Oh, you know what?
It's not often that I have guests on the show that are as gorgeous as I am. So being as we have one of those tonight.
How does it look now?
You look great now. Perfect. Perfect.
Okay. But I want to be able to see.
Yeah, you don't look like a 58-year-old man. You must be substantially younger than me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're 58. Wow.
I'm 58. Yeah. Actually, from an app I ran the other day, I'm 58.6. It even counted. Okay. It counted down how many days old I am, and it made me sound a hell of a lot older. Tell you that. We need to get you that tripod you've lost and broken.
I know. I broke it.
But yeah, we want to make sure the fans see you. We just don't want them seeing
you. You're right. You're right. God damn it.
There we go. There it is.
Where is it?
Did he find it? See, you're seeing the production setup, fans. We don't often show you this. The sloppy side of us. Yeah, we do. We show it to you every week.
What does Steve Austin call it? Award-winning podcast is never going to win a reward, or something like that?
I think he does. Austin loves my
Is team. There a way to do a horizontal? Oh, can I do a horizontal view? Okay.
As long as we can see your whole face in it, I'm cool with it.
Perfect. I didn't know I could do a horizontal view.
You got a lot of response on both Twitter and Facebook. Fans are very excited to see you, and I hate to give them half a head. Of course, if Daniel had been doing his goddamn job, all this shit would have been done. He'd been over to your house and set you up. And
right. Not that far of a drive. I go to Cincinnati quite often, actually. So.
I was going to say, you guys still live in Louisville then, I guess?
Oh, yeah. I did Ohio Valley Wrestling here for, 17 years, I guess. And then I retired about 6-7 years ago. But Louisville will always be home for me. I've lived a little bit everywhere. Goddamn, yeah. Brian's interviewing me now. What the hell?
Yeah. You're not running this interview.
Apparently not. A hostile takeover.
I am.
You get your head on camera. We'll get back to this.
Oh, yeah. I got you. I got the perfect setup now.
Brian Pillman Jr.'s armpit. How do you like that, ladies and gentlemen? Now we got a dresser in the background, so he does have furniture. That's a good sign. Not being evicted today.
Well, I am moving out.
There we go. Looking good. Nice computer chair. You look comfortable. I think we're ready to start this damn thing.
I think we are. We are.
Daniel, how prepared are you? Have you got a lot of questions for our guest tonight?
I'm winging it. I got some questions, but we'll let the fans, you know, the fans interact.
You wing it every time you've been on here.
Yeah, well, that's the way to do it.
And now you pissed our guest off. He's left.
He left. Oh, he left. Yeah.
That is the earliest walk-off ever on a bowling alley. He holds the record. That's a good-looking chair, though. One of the finer computer chairs you'll probably ever see. Wish I had one like that would hold my big ass, but I don't. I sat on an ottoman. Structurally sound.
That's my stormtrooper chair.
I like that. That's a good-looking chair. Well, he's back there. You drinking alcohol? You got a Pepsi? What do you got there?
I've actually got a sparkling water, lightly.
You're drinking LaCroix, as I call it. My daughter-in-law loves those. Mm-hmm. I call it LaCroix because that's what I think it tastes like.
I mixed it with my wine, with my red wine.
That would be better. I don't drink, but that sounds better than the pure LaCroix, as I call it.
Yeah, I made a little cocktail out of the wine. I'm about to get some pizza too. It'd be great.
Pizza. This is pizza week here in Louisville right now.
Well, me and my son, we're going to Pizza Hut tonight. I don't know if we're actually going to make it or not because the roads are so icy. We may just order out here. I think Chris said he might opt out and just grab some McDonald's tonight or something. Now, how much sponsor money are we? Yeah, how much sponsor money are we getting from McDonald's, LaCroix, and Pizza Hut tonight? It seems to me they've gotten some names
here already. Well, I got some good old La Rosa's.
Oh, I love La Rosa's. When I used to go to Kings Island, we'd get La Rosa's. And many times coming home from Reds games, we would get La Rosa's.
You got a pretty good tan going.
I can tell that. It's better than Donald Trump's. At least you're not orange. So you got that going for you. Yeah, and you know what, fans? I think that is how me and Brian have gotten to be friends on Twitter, is that I noticed that he liked a couple of my Trump insults that I do about 151 times a day. And I noticed that Brian liked a couple of them. So that told me immediately he was a good person in my view. And then I had to look up and make sure he was real because I didn't, you know, pardon me, but I did not know if Brian Pillman Jr. was a real deal or not. So I looked up and I said, well, a lot of my verified people follow you. So that told me that you were the real deal.
Yeah.
And then I asked you to be on the show and then the fans went nuts. I mean, you're apparently a pretty big deal around here, and a lot of fans.
People know me. What can I say?
I've been out of wrestling for about 7 years, and I very rarely see any independent shows. And if they don't show up on my speed search on Raw and SmackDown, I just don't see much of them anymore.
Yeah.
How long have you been wrestling now?
I had my first match on December 31st.
Get out of here. Just that recently. Mm-hmm. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
25.
Bless your heart. My first pro match, managing primarily, I was 27. So I started a little late in the game myself. So many these days want to get in at 18, 19, 20 years old. But the best thing for me was getting in late. And I had every connection in the world. I had Jerry Lawler, Jim Cornette, everybody affiliated with them, and I still couldn't get in. It was a hard business to get in back then.
Oh, yeah, you had to break in.
But your name alone should at least crack a door or two for you, I would think. You care to comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very lucky to be in the position I'm in and to also look the way I do.
You look a lot like your dad.
The genetics that I have and then the ability that I have.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing some of your matches. I haven't seen them yet, but your dad was an entertaining SOB, man. I don't know how good your memories are of those days.
One of a kind.
Steve Austin's a friend of mine, and I know he loved your dad with a passion. And they put on some great television. I'm sure you've probably seen those on some highlight reels from time to time.
Oh, yeah.
So who were you training under, and how long were you training before you had your first match?
So I actually trained under Lance Storm. So I also trained in Calgary, Alberta, under Lance Storm Academy.
Yeah, Lance is a buddy, man.
Huh?
Lance is an old buddy of mine. We tweet back and forth quite a bit. He likes.
He's a great guy, and
yes,
he's very outspoken about, you know, what he believes in and stuff. So he's really, really, really smart, and taught me a very safe way to wrestle and how to get over and what I should expect from the business as far as with my situation, you know.
Well, that's the way to do it. Be smart. Try to get 20 good years out of the business if you can, and not be a cripple when you're done. Yeah. And I'm sure Lance can guide you the way to do that. Lance, you know, I don't see him rolling around in a wheelchair, and he's been around quite some time himself. And I think highly of Lance. We give each other a lot of grief on Twitter quite a bit, but he was down here and helped out with OVW some back in the day. Yeah. And just a hell of a guy, man. He really is. He's a good guy. My son loves him to death.
One of the things that I heard recently, because I know you were at StarCast and All In, and that whole time I was up there too. And I heard Eric Bischoff give a testimony that you were like caring more about getting involved backstage and looking at the production side of things. And I thought that was really cool to hear that you didn't want to just be there just to be there. You actually wanted to get involved and see other side of the wrestling that most wrestlers don't really care about. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, I'm always thinking about the business side of things. As you all may or may not know, I have a degree in business marketing and information systems. So I'm pretty versed as far as the impacts that social media has on the business and how we can generate revenue and draw and promotion and stuff. So I'm always looking into the back end of things. That's the most important part of the business as well as production value and getting the best people on those roles as well. So, you know, I'm always talking to the guys, you know, the brains behind the operation. I'm always asking them for advice on different ideas of mine as well. So just always learning, you know, there's no limit to what you can learn. You know, it's not so easy to go to a convention and pick up, you know, in-ring advice. You know, they don't just let you roll around at the fucking convention. So if you can meet a guy at some place like that who's, you know, whether it's Bruce Pritchard or Eric Bischoff, like you said, or someone like that, where you can just kind of pick their brain a little bit. You know, Jim Cornette, for example, I'm lucky I get to be booked on some shows with him. But had I not been booked on shows with him, I might only run into him at a con or something. So, you know, it's always a lot of fun.
I am so sorry. I'll do everything I can to correct all the damage Jim Cornette may have done to you.
No, he's great. Love Jim. You gotta love him.
Jimmy's been my best friend for 42 years. We've had a bit of a falling out in recent years because he didn't like me working, doing shows with Vince Russo. But hey, I like Russo and I like Jimmy, and I don't like being told to pick my friends, and that's kind of what Jimmy did to me. So we're back to speaking again. Nowhere near like we were for the first 42 years. Hell, we talked every day for 42 years. And matter of fact, there's nothing that Jimmy loved more than getting into the car or going up to Cincinnati. And whenever your dad was doing a show up there and going to see your dad, we did that many a times.
Really?
Another was a snooker. Jimmy loved Jimmy Snuka. I remember we went to Cincinnati once only to see Jimmy Snuka. It didn't matter who else was on the card.
Yeah. And,
but no. So what has it been like growing up as the child of Brian Pillman? I mean, my son, I mean, no, what little bit of fame I have, my son gets a little bit of grief over being the son of Kenny Bolin. I can only imagine how it's been for you.
Yeah. And so it's definitely been a wild ride. You know, it hasn't started becoming as awesome as you'd imagine up until recently, up until I, you know, got involved in wrestling and started to learn about what being a Pillman really means and things like that. So growing up, it was a little bit rough, you know, and things, but there was times, you know, in high school kids would be like, oh, you know, your dad played in the NFL, this, that, and the other.
Oh yeah.
Not too many of my friends were into wrestling, so they may or may not have thought that was cool, but you know, they always thought it was cool that he played in the NFL and was this great athlete and things. Yeah. So that's kind of how I made my friends was through football and stuff. But no, I mean, sometimes you go to GameStop and the guy at the cash register is like, wow, you're Brian Pillman's kid. And then he like buys the game for you because he's like,
oh, wow. nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, a lot of people wouldn't even believe it, you know, because like I was just a kid, and they were like, "Oh, that's bullshit," you know.
How many can't play with the Bengals? Because I remember when.
But it's like now I'm like now that I'm in wrestling, it's like I'm growing up all over again. I'm experiencing what it is to have that name, right?
I bet it is. And man, your dad was a good looking man. I mean, everybody just was blown away at the looks your dad had. You're giving Pop a run for his money. I don't often compliment man's looks, but you got the look, man. I haven't seen you wrestle a match yet, and I'd already take a chance on you in the WWE. I mean, that's what we did here in OVW is we developed talent for them for about 10 years.
Yeah.
My biggest claim to fame was John Cena. I don't know how much or how little you know of me. If you're just getting in, probably nothing. But boy, just seeing your look and having that name, shit, I'd take a chance on you in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and you know, that's another thing. It's like, you know, I've been wrestling 9 months. You can imagine that with my physical ability and athleticism, that you can imagine what skill level I'm at right now. You know, I'm not perfect in the ring. I don't have perfect psychology, but I got a lot of energy, and I go out there and I always deliver.
Hey, John,
a solid performance.
John Cena and Rico Constantino came to OVW with a combined maybe 15 matches under their belt, and I think Rico had had 3. And Rico got 5 years out of the WWE, and of course, you know what John Cena's done. So it'll come, I assure you. It'll come, and I think WWE would be absolute fools not to get in on you on the ground, maybe get you down to NXT. I don't know if that's been talked about yet or not.
There's some lines of communication in there, and there's some people I've talked to, but nothing, you know. I'm definitely not begging for a job, you know. I actually ran into, you know, them on my travels, you know. I wasn't trying to go and send any emails and get any favors, but you know, they saw me perform, they liked what they saw, and they asked me for some film, so that's about as vague as I think I'm going to keep it right there.
There's so many that send in the tapes, so many that beg, so many, and people with far less credentials than what you've got. And I always like to do it that way, because when they come to you, at least you know they want you, and at least you know you got a bargaining chip. When you're going to them, the favor it leans their way. And I think you're going about that exactly the right way. And you know what your level is. You know what your potential is. Better than anybody. And but for the fame that your dad had in WCW and in WWE, you would let a lot of people kind of relive their youth a little bit.
Yeah, the nostalgia, right?
I was a little disappointed that Lawler's kids, that Brian Christopher, who was a good friend, and so sad what happened to him recently, Kevin Lawler, I was a little disappointed that one of them didn't try to maybe emulate their dad a little bit more, but they really didn't even go about Lawler's name. Brian Christopher, I don't think ever did.
Yeah.
Kevin Lawler did a little bit, but he was a referee. He didn't just the wrestling part of it just didn't click.
It's hard, you know. It's not always wise to step into those shoes, especially with Jerry Lawler still being alive. It's hard for people to for them to separate that. But you know, with my dad being passed so many years, there's an element of nostalgia there that has been. Dormant. I'm not trying to copy him in any way, but, you know, being myself, people can relate to it, right?
Now, I'm sorry for asking, but what year did your dad pass?
It was 97, October 5th, 97.
I mean, it seems like we were watching him on TV just a few weeks ago. I mean, that's what impact he made on wrestling in both WCW and in WWE, and the angle that him and Steve Austin had going was just I mean, when you can make me wonder if it's a shoot, you've really done your job. And Jerry used to say the same thing about me and Cornette arguing with each other, that he thought we truly to God hated each other.
Well, in the last angle he was involved with, the Gold Dust and Marlena, I mean, that was just it was hard to believe that was fake or real too. I mean, it was so believable.
Brian, his dad was very believable. And we all thought that he was shoot batshit crazy to some level and was capable to go off on anybody in a minute. And that's why you do that. I mean, that's what the profession is about, is to make the people believe. And your dad your dad was a master at that. So if you can learn anything from him, I mean, you've already got the look, you got the genetics. I mean, you learn that psychology, man, that your dad had, and
that's what it's all about. Yeah, right there.
What's that now?
Just a moment, brothers.
I thought he was doing something. I wasn't sure what he was doing.
Now, the whole Pillman's Got a Gun segment, were you at the helm when that was being filmed and everything during that time?
Yes.
We got to hear a little bit about like put away and couldn't get around, or were you there? Were you like in part of the production and all that?
I was upstairs. We were told that we had to go upstairs. Uh-huh. And we had some guys watching us, keeping an eye on us, trying to prevent us from, you know, like going down there during the stuff, you know, because.
And you're like,
I remember I was nervous. I had no idea what was going on. I was very scared as a kid, you know, just like, what the heck?
How old were you?
Somebody's
then
breaking in our house. And that glass was down by the basement for like the next 2 weeks because they didn't fix the fucking window. Oh, wow. Like 2 weeks. So I'm just like a kid. I'm like, my house got broken into and like nobody cares.
And they didn't fix the window for 2 weeks?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Did Steve Wallace never give you money back for that kiddie pool he destroyed?
He didn't. He did not.
I'm going to bring that up to Austin next time I talk about it. I'm going to let him know he owes Pillman some money.
He tweeted that out one day. He said I'd start a GoFundMe or something, I think, one time. It was pretty funny. Yeah.
Well, let's not hog all of Brian's time. Let's let the fans in on this. Do we have any questions from any of the fans yet?
Mostly, somebody wants to know about the current product. And I know it might be hard for him to really talk about too much since he's kind of, you know, he's still breaking into the business. Well, yeah,
we're not here to get heat with anybody that might hire him either.
But mainly the whole Becky Lynch, Nia Jax.
Do what now?
Mainly the whole Becky Lynch, Nia Jax, you know, being what's happening with that. They kind of, I have somebody ask a question about that. What he thinks about that situation? Yeah, asking right when he was
the first ever guest to have his dinner on the bowling alley. So there's
something. It happens, you know, it happens. People get hurt in the ring. I got hurt in the ring. I got hurt wrestling somebody that was extremely good, way better than me. And it was just a miscommunication, and we were really sweaty. And I slipped and fell out of the ring and separated my shoulder. So anything can happen. And also, Nia's a big girl, man. She can throw a big punch, and she might not have known her own strength. I know women have lower bone density, so it is easier to break a woman's nose or their face or something. So she might have just been all jazzed up, but
yeah,
I don't know. Who knows? She could have done it on purpose. I mean, I don't know. It looked pretty.
There's some rumors going around that there was a little
pretty clean punch. I mean, I don't like to say I know the answer, but I don't think that they're trying. The problem was from a business standpoint, if the woman costs the company money because of the failed thing, then
right,
they got to do something. They got to punish her or something. You know what I mean?
I would not think she's so secure in her job stability that she would have took a shot at that on purpose.
Yeah, intentional or not, she needs to be punished just because it's like,
yeah,
you fucked up, you know.
Learn well, as they used to say, whenever shit would happen at OVW, learn how to work, motherfucker. And then we would move on, and hopefully it wouldn't happen again. And we actually had a few at OVW try to settle up with each other in the ring on bullshit. I remember Rip Rogers came out with a kendo stick once and had to take it to both wrestlers because they were trying to settle their differences on an OVW TV taping.
Yeah, I've seen guys that had different promotions getting their little shoot fights during their matches, you know?
Yeah.
So I got to have a question.
And if it happened to a guy, it wouldn't have been as big of a deal, but.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree with you there.
You know?
So another question is, would you, this is from Joseph. He wants to know, would you let Starmaker be your manager? And I'm going to go off that. If not, then who would be your manager? If you had a manager, who would you have your ring manager?
It's hard to say because I actually get booked as a manager sometimes. And
oh, yeah.
I feel like I'm my own best manager. I'd rather manage than anybody else. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, it's like you to put me out of work, man. Quit doing it.
Sorry, Kenny. I don't need your help, buddy.
God damn. He just shut the man that made Cena down on his own show. Wow.
Lord. So another Spike's got a good question.
I got to get some redemption here. Hey, I'm retired 7 years. I turn you down. You don't turn me down.
So
I'm feeling retired with all these signings and conventions I'm going to, meeting all these old legends.
Oh yeah, I don't doubt that. No, I'm actually one of the few that retired and stayed that way. I told him I was done 7 years ago, and my 7 year anniversary was September 27th that I had been retired. So wow. I'm one of the few that's actually stuck to his guns, but they'll have to drag me away from podcasting. We start season 16 in January, and I was the first to ever do podcasting, and we finally, after 15 years, got our own damn channel. So we're building up our own channel now. But
yeah, the wrestling experience really translates well into podcasts.
It does. It certainly does.
So the nickname Greg just said, the self-maker Brian Pillman Jr. There you go.
That ain't bad.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. Star maker out of work. I know. Like
it. And that's kind of been the story. You know, it's hard to hop in a car with some guys and really bond with people when you have so many different bookings. You know, like I'm booked all over, and my friends local might only be booked in like certain areas or something. But meanwhile, I got to go drive to Alabama on my own, you know, and do a 3-day tour.
Yeah.
So it's really fun. You learn a lot about yourself on the road, wrestling and stuff.
And they keep you pretty busy, it seems. I think I was hearing you talk about a lot of the flights you're in, a lot of the cities you've been to. This early in the game to be booked that solidly, that's not too bad a deal.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. Like, I've just been so nice to people as far as communication and how making things easy and work. I'm good at the logistics of, like, planning the flights and stuff. So,
Chris, say hi to
my son. As long as people are willing to work with me, I'm happy.
My son Chris is here. He's been out doing a little shopping for me. My son, the Prince. Chris. Junior Chris.
Pleasure
to meet you.
Nice to meet you, man.
He just told me he didn't need me as a manager, that he is his own best manager. And one of the fans suggested that he be the self-maker, Brian Pillman. And just shut me down and just, you know, fired me basically on my own show. I feel so humbled. He is the first man to ever eat dinner at the bowling alley.
That's what Miami is called, muscle.
All right. Have you already picked up my stuff, or have y'all been yet?
So Spike's got a good question for you, Brian. He wants to know, who's your top wrestlers you want to work with in MLW?
That's a good one.
Everybody, see you, Brian. See ya, Spencer.
See ya.
That's a good one. You know, I'd really like to have a nice aggressive, manly bout with Filthy Tom Lawler. That would be a good one.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to top Brian, being as he has been the only person ever to eat on the bowling alley other than Maya eating peanut butter.
There we go. Maya, there you go. Hey, you said Google Hangout. I'm hanging out.
Yeah, I'm drinking coffee. So.
I don't even know what that is, but it's real good. Maya made it.
All right. So, anybody else besides him?
Bye, Brian. Bye, Joey.
Lawler's show is called Dinner with the King. I think this show should be Dinner with the Bowens. Daniel, something to eat, rather. Brian's got food. I got food.
I got coffee. Like I said, I'll just drink coffee at my dessert.
All right.
Have you had any contact with Scott D'Amore or Don Callis? If you can share that.
Yeah, I mean, if I needed to get a hold of Don, I could probably talk to Lance or something. But I met Scott D'Amore at WrestleCon last April. So probably run into him again this April. I'm already doing a lot of TV work with MLW right now. And being with just how quick I am kind of doing all these bookings and pursuing everything, I think it's time I need to focus on one TV at a time, you know.
I would agree with that.
If I'm filming two TVs, you know, working with different guys.
Caught up in different
stories. With the Hart Foundation on MLW, it's more of an exclusive product. It gives people a reason to watch MLW.
And with Court Ballard running that, I mean,
but he's been in the WWE. I'm not trying to work with Impact at this time. I have no interest in working with Impact at this time.
So, yeah. And Court Ballier, I mean, him running the MLW, I mean, that's he's been in the WWE. He kind of knows how the top runs and kind of – so that's good to kind of get that experience under your feet, too, in the production side of things as well.
Yeah.
We've had myself and wrestlers at OVW here that TNA at the time was interested in us, and we would say, that's all right. we'll do something else. Well, we
it's just that it's nothing against Impact. It's just that right now I'm part of a faction on TV. I'm not like a singles wrestler on TV right now, you know, so it wouldn't make sense for me to go over there and wrestle unless I was with Harry and Teddy. I don't want to put the cart before the horse, if you know what I mean.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So
on the show is a good idea.
One of our guests that was on the show last week, our psychic medium, Angelo, he asked a good question. He goes, do you ever get sick, Brian, of being compared to your dad, though?
Yeah, I think it's because it's never so as direct. You know, people aren't like, oh, you know, you should wrestle this way. It's more indirect. You know, it's more like, oh, you look like him and stuff like that. And it's usually pretty friendly comparisons and stuff. So I don't get sick of it. You know, I got sick of not having a father as a kid. You know, that was a lot worse than people comparing me to my dad today. So I think it's really good. It's a friendly reminder of where I've come from and stuff. So I try to keep my wrestling my own style. I try to do my own types of things. I enjoy wrestling on the indies right now just because I can mess around and just teach myself and learn and stuff. I would like to have a more strict curriculum. You know, if I was offered a chance to go train at the Performance Center, I think within the next year I'd probably accept it, something like that. You know, it'd be a good deal. So
well, I want to elaborate on this. You kind of said something is that, you know, for someone that who did lose their father at such a young age, I mean, kudos to your mother, and I know you have other siblings that, but you've turned out to be, you know, very well growing up and everything. So I mean for someone that went through that tragedy, you didn't let you hold you back at all, you know.
Yeah,
whatsoever. So
thank you.
Now you do have what you use it. You have five brothers and sisters. Is that right?
Yeah. So I've got four sisters and a brother. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a full household. I just had the
one son. But we're all half related. Yeah. We're all half related.
Yeah. I had the one son and I don't know how the hell I raised him. Cause you try to spoil him because I was dirt poor as a kid. So I tried to give my son everything I didn't have. And I couldn't imagine having four more like him, trying to give him the style that he grew up with. And, but to enhance on what you just said, my son, cause he did 5 years at OVW as well as a manager, he called it
Bogus
2.0. And he was oftentimes compared to me, well, your dad would have done this, or why don't you do this like your dad? And he had trouble making him realize, hey, I'm not my dad. This is how I do it. I do it this way. And managing style, he was really nothing like me at all, but did very good at what he did. He said the only thing he wished of mine that he had inherited was timing of what and when to say something, and the comedic timing. But my son didn't do the comedy. He just wasn't in there to be funny. And mine was half and half, to get heat and half to make people laugh.
Yeah, because you got to have
a good time. Closer to Bobby Heenan style than others.
Yeah,
I was a huge admirer of Bobby Heenan, and fortunately, I got to work one show with him. And you talk about a dream come true to get to do a bit with Bobby Heenan, or he was supposed to be an OVW to pass the torch.
Yeah,
it was a funny show, and we did it totally ad lib. He refused to go over the show; he didn't want to, which I didn't either. He says, "Kenny, we're two professionals. We're going to get in the ring, and at the end, everyone's going to be glad they saw us." That's good to me. You talk about a legend. Bobby Heenan was another one. Who did you admire growing up watching wrestling on television? Who were your favorites other than your dad?
You know, as a kid, I really liked the Hardy Boys, you know. Really.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
And you then, honorary Hardy Boy for a night.
And as more as an adult, I've really gotten to like Chris Jericho, you know.
I love Jericho. Good guy.
He's someone I can really take from and look at and kind of look up to in his style and stuff too. So.
In my opinion, Jericho got the greatest intro ever on a Monday Night Raw show. The build up to him coming, and then the night that he came out to cut the promo on The Rock, And then of course, The Rock standing there, like, you know, I think he called him Juventud Guerrero or something. But
I still get the goosebumps on him when I watch that. It's just amazing.
It was done as good as you can do it. The countdown and the boom, 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 boom.
And the fact that it was in Chicago, too, just made it special as well.
Production on it,
but I'm wearing Fozzie right now, so, you know, shout out to Chris Jericho.
Promote everybody but me, asshole.
I got your shirt on too. Hold on.
You do have my hoodie on.
I'm not promoting my podcast. I'm not doing that.
No, you're not promoting that. No. not at all. By the way, being as Angelo DiCipio was in the room, I do want to say last week's show, regardless to two or three assholes that tried to be smart asses in the chat rooms, it was a fun show. And Angelo has already booked 32 readings off the Bowling Alley show last week, within a week. I don't know if you follow much of the psychic reading or not, and I was one of the biggest doubters there ever was of it, but he has come very close on stuff with me that there's just no way in hell he could possibly know. We talked about him coming up with, there was someone in my apartment named Caleb, and there was somebody. I mean, how many Calebs do you know, Brian?
Not too many.
I knew one.
And it I'm was always pretty dog. Skeptical about psychics, you know.
Yeah, it was the dog that lived upstairs, but the fan response was probably better after the show than it was before. I don't think people knew what to expect. And they've always demanded us have him on once a month now. We're going to have to do a bonus show each month to have Angelo DiCipio on the show. So maybe we'll have to have you back and get a reading, Brian, and
I don't believe in psychics.
Well, I didn't either, but look at me now.
If my mullet, the way it looks right now, is not psychic.
Either, but it's there.
If this isn't psychic, how are there psychics?
You might be right. You might be right. But no.
I'm not psychic. Why? How are there psychics?
How are there psychics? Well, I could possibly see that.
Would you ever do a hair versus hair match, you know?
Yeah, if I got paid $20,000 to do it.
Okay.
Which means you would lose.
If I had to lose, I'd cut my hair for $20,000.
Now, you know, most promotions claim that they do not pay for that type of deal. Jimmy Cornette said that basically he was told, if you want to be involved in this feud for the next 6 months, when he was working for Watts down in Louisiana, you're going to get a diaper put on your ass and you're going to get your hair shaved. Yeah. He never got a dollar, not a dollar. Jimmy Valiant once told the Jarrett Welch promotion that if he got a brand new Cadillac and a full tank of gas, that he would lose his hair. So we're talking, God, I don't know what the Cadillacs were in the 50s, but the 70s. But
I'm not the first one to pull that.
You're not the first one to pull that. No, but I would say it was at least a $20,000-$30,000 transaction there for a Cadillac in the 70s.
Yeah.
And so that's what he wanted. And by the way, he never lost his hair. that transaction never came to be. Bill Dundee lost his hair, and I don't recall him getting anything for it. So apparently, people are not willing to pay that $20,000 for people to lose. My son lost his hair. You know what he got? Oh. He got $180 of what they caught raffling off his hair at the end of the night.
Oh my gosh.
$180.
And they gave better than $0, right? I've cut my hair before for spending money. Yeah, I spent money to cut it. So
now Do you wear it the way you do because of your dad, or just kind of just how you like it?
Mullets are a functional decision. My trainer, Lance Storm, told me.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he said it keeps the hair out of your eyes, and you can
It'll do that. It gives you the long hair out of your eyes.
Selling and stuff, you know.
Well, it worked for Ricky Morton. I'm sure you're familiar with Ricky Morton.
Yeah, it's working for me. It's very over. My haircut's very over. So.
I don't even call that a mullet for some reason. It's beyond a mullet.
It's a mullet. Beyond a mullet.
So
and then there's this hair on this asshole. So go ahead.
Hey, come on, now, my hair. Boy,
you're really killing this show. When the camera goes to you, can you imagine? I mean, you got me, and then you got Brian, and then you.
Yeah,
I know.
Dead weight. You're dead weight.
Dead weight.
Terrible. I know. So now, of course, I do refereeing, so I've been, you know, getting involved with when you do shows with people and you can get advice from them.
You do referees. Isn't that a private thing?
No. I'm sorry. Anyways. Okay, you always like to spin it, Kenny.
He does referees, but, Brian. Wasn't you coming out of the closet? It was my host.
So what I was going to ask, though, is besides, of course, Lance Storm, I know you kind of elaborated on a little bit, but is there anybody that you've got the best advice from working with that just, you know, that you can say that every time I work with them, they always give me solid advice, and or they gave me this best advice, you know, a year ago, whatever it was?
Yeah, I mean, it was really nice being able to wrestle with Tommy Dreamer and getting that veteran kind of advice. Every time I run into Cody Rhodes, I never wrestle him, but if I see him at a convention or a show, he always imparts, you know, an important, you know, I'll have a golden question for Cody Rhodes, and he'll like answer that one question.
I love Cody. He was,
and then our meeting is like over, and then he'll be like, "All right, young man, go on about your day, you know."
He was really a class act with us at OVW. Cody's one of the ones I think probably higher of than most that was ever at OVW. Never managed. Yeah. I don't even think I feuded with him. I think I was primarily doing commentary by the time Cody got here. Maybe a little bit of managing, but he was always the babyface.
He's definitely impacted my career with the very few interactions I've had with him as far as the advice he's given me. So
has a beautiful wife too. No complaints about that.
And it's like, what more do you want in life, you know, than a hot wife, a bunch of money, and, you know, and go on a boat and do a boat show, you know? Like, I want to be booked on the boat next time, you know? So,
any more fan questions in there, Daniel?
Not really. I've been keeping an eye on. They've just been commenting on what we're saying.
Well, okay. So, maybe they're intimidated.
Impossible. It's the mullet. It can scare them into their sleep.
Intimidates them. The, your favorite match ever in WWE, being as I'm sure that's probably primarily what you saw in your teenage years on up, what would you say was your favorite match you ever saw?
Well, I gotta say, my favorite match ever. You know what I really liked? I really liked my favorite match ever, though. Ooh, that's a big one. That's a tough one.
But I'm making you think on it a little bit.
Yeah, because I don't want to like say an answer and then be like, "Oh, that's stupid," you know. Like,
well, I'll jumpstart you. Mine was Jerry Lawler and Terry Funk in Memphis on the empty Coliseum match. That's one of the they showed up to an empty Memphis Mid-South Coliseum. I remember Lance Russell going 12,000 empty seats, and all they had in there was a cameraman, Lance Russell, a referee to stop the fight, and Lawler and Funk, and that was it. And it was called the Empty Coliseum match. And then, of course, that night later on at the Mid-South Coliseum, they had another match. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, but that was something else.
Good question right here. Did aligning yourself with Teddy Hart worry you because of his reputation?
You know, it's that's a good question. So I've kind of grown up to understand how to read people. And, you know, I was in my own sort of neighborhood where people were more or less, you know, had a reputation. Right. So, but I knew Teddy was he cleaned up his act. I could tell when I met him. I met him a few times early in my career. Actually, my very first tag team match, I tagged with Teddy in New Jersey for DJ Hyde. So, I would already get a little bit of a taste. And like I said, I know how to handle that environment. I know if anything's going to go wrong, I can sense it. So I sense nothing but love from Teddy. I sense nothing but positive, pure energy, pure wrestling energy. He truly doesn't wrestle for the money. It's not about that for him. He wrestles for the pop. You know, he wrestles for when he goes through that curtain, and wrestles for the people. He wrestles for the people, and he does what they want to see, and he always delivers. And, you know, sometimes it is hard to work with him. Sometimes, you know, you're on set and he's, you know, not listening to what the directors are saying quite and goes off on his own tangent. It's all about Teddy. You know, I've never even seen him get pinned. You know, he's one of those guys, he respects the ring. He doesn't want to lose a match. You know, he understands
Teddy. Teddy was here.
He's the most passionate wrestler I've probably ever met. He's probably seen more wrestling matches than anybody. He's a true master of the art. And if somebody's got a few vices that hold them back, but they're a true master of the art and I can still learn from them, then I'm still going to learn from them and we can get past whatever he's had to get past in the past.
Teddy was here in OVW for a short period of time. And I remember that we had a night in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. I don't know why I remember it, but I do. And Teddy come up to me. He says, Kenny, I need to ask you for some good advice, man. I keep screwing up. I keep getting heat. Nobody likes me. And I really need some good advice from you. So I said, really? I said, you're actually going to take advice from me? I said, I can give you some. So we went over and we sat down on a bench and we must have talked for 30 minutes. And I gave him the advice that I thought would help him and would get him he needed to be. He absolutely used none of it, went back to doing the shit he was doing, and he was gone in like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, he's going to do what he wants to do anyway.
I mean, I like him. He's a good guy. But if you've never seen him get pinned, that is not a good thing. It's kind of hard to It's kind of hard to get over and get the storylines over if the one guy never ever gets pinned. We pretty much know the finish of the match when it starts.
So
but he does like the pop. I will grant you that he loves.
Oh, bless him! Look at that.
Woo. Are you allergic to Daniel? I can get rid of him if I have to.
Yeah,
that's what he is.
Not eating or something wrong with that.
So somebody had a good question earlier and I kind of skipped over it because we were talking about other things. We asked you about your favorite match, but do you have a favorite match of your dad's that you like?
That's a good question.
So I've recently come to find my new favorite match of my dad's,
mm-hmm.
which is the match he had with Mark Marrow.
I remember Mark. Mark
was a great match. It was awesome. And I watched it and I was like, wow, this is like, you know, some high level stuff. And everybody likes the match with Juice and Thunder Liger, but to me that wasn't as good for different reasons. But it is what it is, you know. I think everybody has their own favorite match with my dad's or their own favorite WWE match or whatever. But
Mark was another one that couldn't keep out of heat in the WWE. He should have been so much more than what he was, and a lot of people thought Sable held him back because Sable always got.
That's what happened. He came in with Sable, and
It didn't help him.
Right, Jim Ross said, "Did we sign the wrong person for the very beginning?" So yeah, it was.
I think they
signed both of them, but
she got more over essentially than.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, way more over. She even sued the company for $1 million and actually got to come back after suing Vince for $1 million. And they still brought her back to the company. So,
and they paid her $1 million.
Did she get paid, Daniel, or do you know?
She did. She got paid.
You're kidding me.
She
got paid and came back.
She's still getting paid because she gets that Brock Lesnar money now too. So,
oh yeah, I guess she is then.
Cause she lives with him. Huh?
Yeah. So she's got that Brock Lesnar money.
Did they ever get married?
Yeah. They're married. Yeah.
I might have to look up her, whatever it was she was doing. Because she must have been.
You may not want to do that with Brock Lesnar. I'm just going to warn you that ahead of time.
No, I mean, like, whatever it was about her that got her so over, you know?
Well, once again, you may not want to do that with Brock Lesnar.
Well, whatever got her over, she did have two things connected to her chest that you probably don't have.
She had the paint. She
had the paint, yeah.
Just had paint on her boots, and that was it. You talk about the Attitude Era.
Johnny B. Bad, though, character was better than Mark Marrow anyways. I mean, just a better character.
Johnny B. Bad better. Yeah. I mean, it was Little Richard. I mean, it was the reincarnation of Little Richard, but, you know, I did like that better than the Mark Marrow deal.
Well, everybody still
says he did that. He did that character better, I thought.
No. I agree.
Well, they said somebody asked favorite WCW match of yours, but you pretty much answered that was a WCW match, wasn't it? The one with Mark Marrow? Wasn't that with Johnny B. Bad when he wrestled Mark Marrow? Fall Brawl?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. So you pretty much answered that. What is your finisher right now? What do you use as your finisher?
It's called the Dire Promise. It's a variation of a swinging neck breaker with a double arm hook. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
I need to
check it out on Major League Wrestling.
Do you have, you said the MLW, do you have much stuff on YouTube out there that anything in particular you'd recommend us see?
Yeah. I actually just released a new highlight film, but it's actually a private link.
Okay.
So you can't really see it right now. Maybe I'll post it.
You probably should.
Maybe, but I've just been sending it to scouts and stuff. I haven't really been trying to get it all viewed up, but I did. There's plenty. Look up Brian Pillman Jr. On MLW and stuff on YouTube. I've got a singles match on the MLW channel. It's really solid. Mm-hmm. We've got the six-man tag, me, Teddy, and Davey Boy Jr. versus Albert, ACH is his name, Rich Swan, and Marco Stunt.
I actually haven't seen any of the MLW stuff yet. I did not know they were.
Yeah, you have to check it out. It's a good mixture of like old school nostalgia. They got some lucha in there. It's a great show. Yeah, it's a full package type show.
Who's their announcers?
Tony Schiavone is a commentary guy.
Told me the other day because Tony Schiavone was backstage in a locker room, and my so-called personal press agent from down in Alabama, Adam, was with him, and he said, you know Kenny Bolin, because Tony Schiavone, Jimmy Cornette and his wife used to kind of babysit Tony's kids from time to time down in the WCW days. So yeah. I knew Tony from back when I lived in Atlanta, but I haven't seen Tony probably since the early 90s. And he probably had no idea I even had merchandise or anything. And he saw this Bolin Club jacket going, well, what the hell?
Well, that was the I think they were at the Georgia Alabama game, wasn't they?
He's the voice of the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah,
and I did not know he was also doing the announcing on MLW, but I do recall it now. Someone mentioned that to me, but I did not know MLW was doing full blown wrestling shows.
Yeah,
well, that's pretty cool.
It's a weekly TV show.
I'll definitely check that out. How long you been with them now?
So, been with them since July, I'd say. I think.
How did you get signed? Who discovered you?
They just messaged me on Twitter, I think.
Yeah, well, that's the way we do it these days. That's how you ended up here. Messaged me on Twitter,
and then I didn't know that the Hart Foundation was being booked. I thought it was just whatever they were using me for.
Uh huh.
And then the first I saw of it was just the poster of the Hart Foundation.
I gotta ask you, what's your ties with all the Canadians, with Lance and Amora and the Hart Foundation and Teddy? How did you get tied in with the Canadian group so tightly?
Being that when I went to Calgary, Bruce Hart and all the Harts kind of invited me, you know, to come see their houses and just kind of welcome me into their family. Really, it was really nice of them. And just being up there in Calgary, starting my journey up there, I met Davey Boy on an indie show up there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's when we kind of planted the idea that we'd start, you know, probably work together in the future and stuff. And of course, my father being in the Hart Foundation definitely helps the fact that, you know, people want to see it. But it is kind of cool. You know, there's just a certain family vibe in wrestling. And then when you get into the second generation, there's even more of a family kind of respect. And then when you even put the microscope on like the Hart Foundation kids, we've all been affected by the business in some way, you know, for another. So we all kind of understand each other and stuff like that. So,
well, I was wondering what the connection there was. That makes sense now that you tell it like that. Well, I'm really rooting for you, man, as far as I hate to call it the next level sometimes because there's lots of guys doing just fine on the indie circuit, but
I'm doing pretty good for myself. I just got just moved into a new house with my buddy, so we're splitting the rent and shit. But
man, when I got divorced, I had roommates for most of my life until I retired. But maybe 7-8 years ago. Well, no, about 10 years ago, I aborted the roommate plan and just got smaller places.
Yeah,
but yeah, when you're young like you, man, a roommate thing, cut those bills in half, save your money. Stay away from drugs, alcohol as much as you can.
I'm doing it all with wrestling, so it really feels good about that, you know.
Well, that's great, man. I'm glad to hear that. Any other questions in the chat room? We're going to try to, being as he's on his phone, we're going to try to keep him to a reasonable amount of time, unlike what you and I normally do.
Chris Doyle asked about the NXT thing, and he answered that question earlier. I know he's joined the chat late, so go back to the beginning of the show. He did answer. He's had a conversation with them. That's all he's going to keep it at that. Looks like that's so far we've answered all the questions. But I do have one though. Is anybody from your friends with your dad, have they kind of reached out to you at all? Just maybe, you know, like even Steve Austin or some of that nature, and kind of give any kind of other advice to you as well?
Yeah, so Steve Austin, or did I already mention that one?
I talked to Steve a little bit. I don't think you did.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he reached out to me before I got in the business and was like, hey, I got this weightlifting belt. And that's what, and then I was like, well, how'd you find me? He's like, oh, I saw you replied something on Twitter. And then this was like before I even started training wrestling or anything, you know? And then I was like, you know what? If that's any sign, you know, that Stone Cold's going to find me and send me a weightlifting belt that says flying on the back of it, you know, if that's any sign to get in the business, I don't know what is, you know, right?
My next question is, at what point did you decide the wrestling business was going to be the path you were going to take?
Probably after I went to college, got a degree, and succeeded at doing what everybody else was telling me to do. And then I realized that that was, you know, that's not what I wanted, and I want to do what I want to do and succeed at what I want to try to do. So
that happens.
I decided to become a wrestler.
You got the build for it. Did you ever consider playing any NFL football?
So I played at a high level in high school football, like a very high division. High school football, but still, school. You know, we always competed with top state qualifying teams, you know.
Moeller's one of the big deals up there in Cincinnati and a couple others.
Yeah.
And who did you play with?
I played at Dixie.
Okay, okay.
So we played Highlands every year, and we almost beat Highlands.
Yeah, down here, the two big deals are Trinity and St. X down here in the Louisville area.
Oh, yeah. Our big ones are Highlands and us and Cuffcast.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What position did you play?
I played nose guard. I was a defensive lineman, yeah.
Well, you know,
defensive MVP and all-star MVP.
Had you stuck with that career, Jim Ross would have been trying to recruit you to go to Oklahoma. And Jim Ross loves the football players. You would have had a path right in the front door.
Yeah.
He hired more football players than wrestlers. Yeah, if you had a football career, man, Jim Ross was all over you. I don't know what his fascination about that was. Of course, you know, Laurinaitis played with Ohio State. Yeah. I don't know if he's ever going to venture into WWE or not, but hell, he's still in the NFL, isn't he? Laurinaitis? I think he is.
He is. He's playing. He was
Raiders.
No, he was for the Rams. I don't know if he's still with the Rams or not.
I have trouble keeping
somebody asked about advice. Has Bret Hart ever reached out to you at all?
I met Bret Hart at WrestleCon. It was really nice to meet him. And I was when I injured my knee, and he's like, you should look into stem cells. And I'm like, Bret, I can't afford stem cells.
Well, I guess that is something to look into. I just posted a picture on Twitter. It was Facebook. One of my old memory pictures came up on Facebook from many years ago, and it was Owen Hart. It's a blurry picture of Chris, my son Chris, when he was about 7 years old, maybe 8 years old, with Owen Hart. And, yeah. Oh, my God. You talk about a good fucking guy.
Owen Hart.
Bad. Didn't find anybody to say a negative word about Owen Hart. My son loved him. Owen loved my son for some reason. And every time he knew that we were coming to a show, did we lose him or just his picture go?
I think he's still there.
A little blue dot.
There he is.
But yeah, Owen adored my son. And of course we saw what happened live on television. God, it just destroyed both of us.
Yeah.
Never anybody in the business I thought more highly of than Owen Hart.
My background on my phone is my dad and Owen holding me.
Oh yeah.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
We've held Brian to the 1 hour time limit. Let's see if we can get three final questions for him. I don't want to tie him up all night like I do with other guests who are sitting in front of a computer. Brian, if you're wondering why I look to the right a lot, I've got a 55 inch screen in front of me and my camera's here. So when I look here, I'm actually trying to make some eye contact with him. When I look here, I'm seeing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So why I keep looking to the right so much.
So somebody asked about shoot interviews. Do you think they serve a purpose?
Well, if the fans are buying them and listening to them, then yeah, the purpose is to sell them.
I shoot on Daniel every week. He's gotten off easy this week because of you being here. Maybe we'll do some bonus time once we sign you off just for me to bitch at him for about a half an hour.
Yeah.
Who is the who is your Mount Rushmore of wrestling?
Here we go.
Oh wow! So we got what, four or five?
Four.
I had five. I did my.
You gotta have Ric Flair up there.
I agree.
You gotta have Stone Cold.
Who?
Stone Cold.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I agree with that.
Oh man, Ric Flair, Stone Cold.
Two more. God,
that's hard.
Do like me. Take three. We're going to add a statue. Go ahead and do three.
Three more, you mean? Okay.
Ric Flair, Stone Cold. I want to say, I don't want to say The Rock, but I do want to say The Rock.
Yeah, I think Rock was on mine.
You got to say Rocky. I mean, look what he did.
Yeah.
Ric Flair, Stone Cold, The Rock. And then it's hard from there. You got Shawn Michaels. You got Hulk Hogan. What do you do there?
Who would you pick between Michaels and Hogan? Because I'm going to be honest with you. As great as Michaels was, and he had a lot of heat, a lot of people didn't like him, especially in the business. But I've never heard anybody put Michaels on their Mount Rushmore, even going to five.
Yeah.
I've never heard one person, people in the business have ever put him on it. Maybe fans do. Never heard anybody in the business put Sean on it.
Well, cool. I got a unique take then, I guess.
Yeah. So you, at least you've given him an honorable mention. So you have room for two. Are you settling with Hogan and Michaels, or?
You know, it's hard to go from there. You know,
I had Jerry Lawler in mind, being from the South, because I would never have gotten into wrestling if it weren't for Jerry Lawler. He just entertained the shit out of me.
Yeah, and
I thought I was Jerry Lawler for hell. Well, I probably still do. The king of managers. I mean, good Lord. And I even got to feud with him for the better part of 10 years. And nothing got me amped up more than to be involved in a match with Jerry Lawler. It's just the excitement was still there, even in my late 40s, to do matches.
That's crazy, yeah.
And I had the old king on mine.
So one of the questions I always ask people on my podcast is, who in the current roster would you, in the WWE, would you love to have a match with right now? Love to work with.
Current roster.
Mm-hmm. Probably Daniel Bryan.
Oh yeah, that'd be good. What's your opinions of Shinsuke Nakamura before we let you go? He's my personal favorite in the WWE now.
Oh, and
I love Carissa. I love Asuka. Mine is an all Asian thing.
The Japanese wrestlers are great. Yeah.
But Shinsuke, God, when he was in NXT. Between the opening and he would have entrances that lasted 9 minutes.
Oh yeah.
And they had one deal down there where he had like 13 fiddlers and tuxes and all white fiddlers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. Just what a production. And I think they have ruined him up here compared to what he was down there. And I didn't think he could be ruined. I predicted that him and Asuka would be the two biggest stars in the company. They should have been, but for whatever reason, they're not. And, I don't think Shinsuke is going to hang around much longer. I think he's going to take his ball and go home. And I think Asuka's probably going to do the same thing. I really do.
Really?
Money talks. One good final question is from James Vance. He wants to know your favorite wrestling angle storyline of all time.
Yeah, it's got to be Stone Cold and Bret Hart. That's probably my favorite match, too. You know?
Okay. That was a good one.
Those were some good ones. Yeah. Well, you and I are going to do a little extra time if you don't mind, because I haven't bitched at you enough.
Okay.
Fans hate it when you don't get what's coming to you. Mm-hmm. And Brian, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate you coming on with us. Our YouTube channel is a little bit new, but I've been doing this shit for 15 years, and even doing that, it's an honor to have you on. Your dad, a true legend. I think you got one hell of a path cut out for you, son, and I will be looking for you. If not in the WWE, you're going to be a big deal in a lot of places real soon. I have every confidence in that.
Appreciate that.
Whatever the fuck I know. It couldn't possibly be much.
And a couple organizations I referee and work with, they're looking to bring you in next year. So I hope to be able to work a show with you. I'm looking forward to that in the spring coming up.
If you fast count him, I'll beat your ass.
I wouldn't fast count him. I'm a fair and balanced referee.
Hit me up, baby. Right. Thank you guys for watching. Follow me on Instagram at FlyingBrian41 and Twitter at FlyingBrianJr.
Any appearances coming up soon you want to tell the people about?
No, but stay tuned for 2019. There's going to be some very big things happening. And also watch MLW every Friday night on BN Sports USA or Saturday night's MLW Fusion on YouTube.
All right. We know you're on. We know you're on Twitter. Are you on Facebook as well?
Not really. I mean, I've got a full friends list and I don't really use Facebook, so.
Well, I've made a few bucks off Facebook, so I would recommend you getting on there too and promoting yourself everywhere you can get yourself seen.
Okay, well, maybe we'll talk about that sometime.
All righty, my friend. Well, it's been a pleasure having you, and thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
We said good day.
Thanks for listening, and if you like what you heard, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss another episode.